Last week, you could probably tell from some of the things I shared and how I shared it, I was quite stirred. What was going on in the worship and what I saw in the heavenly realms really stirred me. And this whole prophetic timetable, as I shared last week, basically is there to help us with different time periods that God is doing things to bring us to that place where Jesus returns. But each of those levels is a level which requires greater intimacy, greater revelation, and greater power to fulfill God's purposes. And some of these things are coming. I ain't going to go into it today. Obviously, it took me 15 weeks to actually share it. If you need it, get the MP3 files and listen to them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said, and it therefore is close to me as the air I breathe. So the heavenly realms, that spiritual realm, supernatural realm, is so close that I can step into it and out of it any second of any day, of any minute, all the time. I have a choice to turn into the kingdom of light, which is that kingdom of the heavenly realms, or turn into the kingdom of darkness, which is in darkness right now because the enemy's occupying places that we need to occupy. So it's my choice. Turn into one or the other, and I have free will to do that. Now the exciting thing is God is giving us revelation to show us how to step into the heavenly realms, and therefore how to turn into that kingdom, engage what's there, which is God's power, His presence, the resources of heaven, and to manifest them here on earth. That is a picture of the heavenly realms. Obviously we've looked into that a little bit. There are different realms that we have access to. There are different realms that where the enemy has access, and we need to rule from that place. How do we do it? We need to know God intimately. Biggest key in everything is to know God intimately. That means to know Him and for Him to know us. But when it talks of intimacy, it's talking as intimate is when a husband knows their wife sexually. Now, we don't know God sexually, but it's that intimate because God comes into our spirit. He comes into our heart. He engages with our life. And He wants us to come into His realm and engage with Him. So intimacy really does mean intimate. We need to know our identity as kings and priests. That we've always been called to have that royal identity and to have that priestly identity, which means we can access His presence. We need to live according to the principles of the kingdom of God. There are 12 principles, which I'll teach sometime. We need to rule in our own sphere of authority, our house, the house of God. God dwells in us. He calls us to rule. That means our spirit rules our soul and our body, and they come into line. Now that takes time and a process. It doesn't happen instantly. But we are the house of God. God dwells in us. And we have a sphere of influence and authority in the heavenly realms to rule there so that we bring that rule here. We need to take charge over the courts in the heavenly realms of our own life and operate in authority. And we'll look quite a bit more about these things in time to come. We need to be transformed into a son. So we are called to be sons of God. Therefore we need a transforming process because we don't look like sons all the time. We don't act like sons all the time. And sometimes we don't think like sons, and sometimes we don't even think we are sons. So we need a process which takes us from one degree of glory to another, and it's a transforming process to change us. So we can be manifested as sons on the earth. That's our destiny. That is what God has destined for us to do, to be manifested on the earth as sons of light. Manifest sons of God, demonstrating everything of God's kingdom here on earth. Because God always wanted heaven to be patterned here on earth. That was always His intention. And He still wants that. So that's some of the keys. But, and this is what I shared last week. If you weren't here last week, you need to get hold of the MP3 or the CD, because it sets the tone for what we're doing. And the tone was quite aggressive. Because actually, my spirit was really stirred last week. It was starting to get stirred again in the worship today. There are familiar spirits, things assigned to you from birth and in family generational stuff, which are there to rob you. Jeremiah 20:10, I have heard many whispering and defaming. That's what they do. They whisper, try and bring you down, try and keep you down. There's terror on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. That is what familiar spirits do. And we have to rise up in authority over them and crush them under our feet. Because that's what they say. Say, all my familiars, they who watch for my fall, perhaps he will be persuaded and deceived. That's what they say. You can read some of that stuff in C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters and things like that, which talk about how demons are assigned to rob us of our destiny and our place in God. But, as I said last week, as a church, we're not going to have it. We have to come and rise up and deal with those things so all of us can come into our destiny. Because they take your throne, your place of rulership, and they keep you down. They block your blessings. You don't think you're worthy or deserving of what God wants to have. They rob your rest. That place of peace in God, which is where God calls you to come from. Because everything needs to come out of that place of peace and rest, but they rob that. They destroy our destiny. That's their whole purpose, is to keep us, because they know if we fulfill our destiny, their end is hastened. Because they know where they're going to end up. So we need to rise up and take authority over those things in our lives and deal with them. Take captive every thought. Great teaching by Ian Clayton on that, on familiar spirits, which I'll encourage you to listen to if you haven't listened to yet. Okay. I want to talk today about destiny. And this is something that really stirs me, because my destiny, I've got a mandate to call other people's destinies forth. That's something that stirs in my heart. We have a scroll of destiny which mandates us to rule in our own lives. Each of us has that scroll. Every scroll is different, and every area of rule is different. It's like there are things which will stir that destiny in you when you hear them. There are certain words that when I hear them, something stirs, it resonates in my spirit. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, on that first time I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God dropped a word in my heart. The word was revival. I didn't even know what it meant, really. You know, at that point, but it's resonated. Something, it just stayed in my heart, and since then the words like renewal or restoration or reformation, those sort of words, they just vibrate in me and cause me to start to stir. And there'll be certain words that stir you, because they will agree with what God has written about you. There are seven spheres of dominions or thrones that we need to operate in our own lives from, and then there are others at higher levels that we go to. Those words, investiture, you have been invested with authority, but for that investiture to take place, there has to be a succession. Now, succession is when the old king dies, the new king takes on the throne. This is various different ways of thinking about this. When your old life dies, when your old person or your soul gets crucified and dies, your spirit starts to rise up and to rule. It's one way of looking at it. But also, there are demonic things which are blocking and trying to keep you from your destiny, which you have to get rid of, off the throne. And Mark's not here today, so I can talk about it. talk about it anyway, yeah. I've been talking with Mark about these things, and he's been seeing thrones, and he's been seeing giants on thrones, and he's one of the other people who I've been engaging with that actually has killed a giant and has taken authority on a throne. And he's also seen some dragons, but he's not touched them yet. But all of us need to see where our thrones are, what they're called to do, and deal with the things that are stopping us fulfilling them. Now, you know, the devil in the Bible is called the old dragon. We know David killed Goliath, a giant, chopped his head off. They are symbolic things of the things which rob us of the things in our life. Then there needs to be an enthronement, coronation. Those are the things when we are actually enthroned in authority and power in the heavenly realms to manifest that here. Now, there are things that I've done over probably the last 12 months or so which have been prophetic acts in ministering to people to call forth people's destiny and their place of authority. I didn't know exactly that's what I was doing. I just did something that God told me to do. So if it was to do with a crown, like on Friday night and last Sunday night, I prayed about releasing people and placing a crown of destiny on their heads. And there have been other crowns that we've given, bringing us into our identity and revealing that scroll of destiny. Cloaks. I've used the rainbow flag banner in symbolic things of a mantle, placing anointing of authority on people quite a number of times over the last year or so. Also, I've given people scepters of authority, just the people God told me to do it to. But all of us can get those scepters of authority and weapons. You know, in my office on the wall, I've got a big sword, and often I've used that sword to demonstrate calling people into the things that they're called to do with authority. There are weapons of authority that God gives us. We've seen quite a lot of those things. God's given them as revelatory things for the things we're coming into. Now, some of those are just symbolic of the things that are in the spiritual realm. We do things prophetically, like Jo, when she's waving the banners and the flags in particular ways, with particular colours. It's a symbolic thing, but it actually is more than just symbolism. Because those things open up things in the heavenly realms, open up doors. These things, when we're obedient in terms of a prophetic act, that prophetic act joins with something in heaven and causes something to open up here on earth. That's why we do it. And those of you who know my past, you know I would be a million miles away from doing those type of things if it wasn't God. You know? But actually, when God says something, we've got to do it. Even if it's uncomfortable and it's not really your personality, whatever, we have to do it. Because actually it's those things of obedience, you don't know what doors they're going to open up. Okay. Now, when it comes to our destiny, the biggest question is, and what a lot of people ask, who am I? Who am I? And you could probably say, well, I've thought about that myself. Who am I? Who am I? Where did I come from? Questions that everyone wants to know. I need to understand where I've come from so I can understand why I'm here today. And I can understand where I'm going tomorrow. It's really important to get an understanding of this yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because that's how our destiny gets outworked. Therefore, we need to understand the nature of who created me and my creation. How did it take place? What happened? What was God doing? Because that will help me as I'm looking to find my destiny. God is eternal. That sound really obvious, but actually he is eternal. He has always been. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Get hold of that. That's who God is, the Almighty One. But he who was, and is to come. So what was God before he is? Think about it. Was he the same? Was he not the same? A lot of things, when we actually start to engage with God, he starts to reveal things about himself, which gives us insight into who we are and where we've come from. God is light. Again, really important. 1 John 1 says, this is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And if I had another week, I would probably could be able to explain light and what light is, particle, waves, all sorts of stuff. God is light. I'll do another some sessions on that sometime. I'm lining up a whole load of sessions, aren't I? On quantum physics and mechanics and some more stuff, which I'll go beyond the basic stuff I taught you before. God is love. How does God, who is love and light and eternal, how do they all work? You know, we've come to know in 1 John 4, God is love. God is spirit. John 4:24, God is spirit, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They're all defining the nature of God. And it's important to understand, because if we understand who God is, and we have an intimate relationship with him, it will help us understand who we are, and how we're supposed to operate. Now this is a key verse, Jeremiah 1:5. Before, now what's before? Exactly before it happened. Not before as I'm standing before you here. It can mean that, but it doesn't mean it here. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Now, God is speaking that to us. Take this as God speaking to you right this second. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The word knew or know is again intimate encounter. It wasn't just I had some thought about you. No, he knew us. But that was before I was in the womb, so I existed before I was in the womb. And he knew me. And actually, I knew him. Before you were born, I consecrated you. God had a purpose set apart for our lives, but he knew, and we knew, before we were actually formed as a physical being. I have appointed you. And for Jeremiah, that was a prophet to the nations. What is he appointed you for? What is your destiny? What has he called you to do? Who has he called you to be? Because you can know. Because he knew before we were even a physical being. So before we were a physical being, what were we? A spiritual being. Because God is spirit. And we've come out of God. Our spirit is eternal. It will never die. It will live on in one place or another, but it is eternal because it's of the essence of God. All of us have a destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. Welfare there means peace, wholeness, prosperity. Plans for us to succeed. Not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And hope there means vision of your destiny. Have you got a vision for your life? Do you know what you're here for? Do you know who you're called to be? Do you know your name? Because you have a heavenly name that's assigned to you according to your destiny. I saw my name when I went and saw the thrones of heaven and went and sat on it in heaven. And I saw my name, and I knew it was me, and it was my throne and my name. Because my whole spirit just leapt at it. That's what happens when things of your destiny start to take place around you. Your spirit starts to leap. You remember the story of Jesus in his mother's womb and John the Baptist in his mother's womb, and it says that when Mary met John the Baptist's mum, I can't remember her name, what's her name? Elizabeth, that's the one. It leapt. John the Baptist leapt in the mother's womb because his spirit engaged with the spirit in Jesus and leapt. That's what happens when we start to engage our destiny. Things start to move us and our spirit starts to just leap out because God has vision and he wants us to have vision for the future. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So, there is a substance to my life, you could call it your spirit, which God saw when it was unformed in a natural sense. Before you had a body, you had a substance, a spirit. Then it says this, in your book or scroll were all written the days that were ordained for me. So this scroll of destiny is written before I'm created here and before God created the heavens and the earth. I was created in the thoughts and in the heart of God. And there was a substance that I was. Now, once you go and actually see what that substance is, it really helps when you're looking for who you are now. Okay? Because everything that you're supposed to be called to do is revealed on that scroll. And sometimes you'll do the things that are on that scroll when you haven't even read it, because that's your destiny. And when you line up with the purposes of God, you start to fulfill your destiny. But I tell you, when you read it and you know what's on it, it enables you to engage it in a totally different dimension. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. God has got so many thoughts about us because he knows us intimately. And we need to get hold of those thoughts. Because when we get hold of the thoughts of God about us, it transforms how we think about ourselves. It will change how you think about yourself when you know how God thinks about you. Literally transform you. So it's really, really important to get hold of it. Because the way you think about yourself now will not be 100% the way God thinks about you. But the more how you think lines up with how God thinks, the more your life will find transformation, and the more you'll become like Jesus, and the more you'll start to do the things that Jesus did, and all the things you're called to do. And it's a key thing to get hold of the thoughts of God and to see what's written on that scroll. Now I want to throw a little few sentences out for you, and I'm not going to really explain them that much, but I want you to think about them, if you can. It says, I was created in eternity in the heart and thoughts of God. I was created, and that was a substance and a scroll which was created. I need to engage where I came from to understand who and what I was there to live out of that reality today. That's why I need to engage with that substance and that scroll so I can live it out today and bring it into reality. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the timeline. Today, yesterday, forever. That is the timeline that exists. You can access the timeline. I've accessed the timeline a couple of times. Not by choice. God took me there. And I went back in the past and literally saw something that happened in the past and a long time in the past, 4,500 BC thereabouts. And God showed me something, and it was really significant. And as soon as I knew it, saw it, something stirred in my destiny. Because I'd been to this place naturally about 4 or 5 times, and every time I go there, something in my spirit just starts to get stirred. It's the Great Pyramid at Giza is this place. And all of us have access to the timeline once we start to access the heavenly realms. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, I read it before, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come. That's the timeline. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Therefore, I can change who I am and what I am today from what I see of tomorrow. Make sense? Prophecy. God shows me something of tomorrow, and therefore I shape my today to line up with what God says about me tomorrow, and therefore I change and are equipped to deal with tomorrow. That's why God gives prophecy, says in John that the Holy Spirit is there to reveal and disclose to us those things that are to come about us as well as other things. So it's really important we understand we can engage that, but also I can engage who I was yesterday to influence who I am today and change tomorrow. Now it starts to get more complicated, maybe, but actually just think of yesterday ultimately being eternity and who I was and my destiny. If I engage my destiny and what God says about me, it will influence who I am today, won't it? Because God says I'm this, therefore I want to become this. Therefore it will change who I am today, and also it will change who I am tomorrow. I'll give you a couple more. I can engage and change who I was yesterday to change who I am today and who I am tomorrow. I know it's doing your head in. It reminds me of the Matrix when the Oracle basically says to you, this is going to do your head in totally. It's designed to do your head in because it's supposed to get to your spirit. Basically, think about this. If I know something happened in my past, which is affecting me today and hindering me for tomorrow, I can change it. I can be healed of memories, of trauma, of things that have happened to me. I can be forgiven and cleansed. So I can deal with things in the past, which will change how I am today.
I just share something that you're sharing with me. I was thinking about school reports. Sometimes you have something written about you that influences who you become because of what judgments have been made against you, you know, either good or bad. But actually, I don't want to be dictated to by what teachers have said about me that now affect who I am now.
No. And the reality is, if we learn that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, he is present in my past. So he is there to engage my past, to set me free from it, to heal me and restore me from it, so it changes who I am today and will change who I am tomorrow. Because we know the power of testimony. Now what's the testimony? It's what's happened to me. So if I change my testimony, I can change my present and my future. Got a few more of these. Now this is really makes sense to me. It says, my tomorrow becomes my today, and then my yesterday. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's absolutely true, isn't it? Tomorrow, the day after, will be my today, and the day after that will be my yesterday. So everything about my life is on a timeline. And if I learn to engage that timeline properly, so I can see what's to come and have revelation of it, it will prepare me and equip me to deal with it. Also, if I know what was written about me in eternity past, it will equip me to fulfill that in the future. This is how this stuff works. Now, you know, I'm just giving you some words, but actually you can go and do it. So the more my yesterday is influenced by my tomorrow, the more I will reflect my destiny. I'll throw a few of these things out there. Therefore, your testimony, your experience, you have experience today and you have a potential future. Now, they all need to work together. Because we know the power of testimony. My potential becomes my experience, becomes my testimony. Same thing. It's like what God has said about my future, if I engage it, I will experience it, and then it will be my testimony to help me to experience more. This is how it all works. Everything in Hebrew thinking is circular. So that it comes back and recycles so that I can actually enter into it. My testimony shapes my experience to fulfill my destiny and not oppose it. That's why I need my testimony to change. If things have happened to me in the past which are still my testimony, I need to see those things changed. I need to be healed, set free, have my thinking different, so that I can be free to do the things that God's called me to do. God has already written something for me to fulfill before I was. Physically. I need to find it. That scroll is the written record of the desire of God agreed with my spirit in eternity for me to fulfill. My spirit agreed with it. God is not forcing it on me. It's not fate. My spirit agreed with this destiny before the foundation of the world, and it is for me to outwork. But I need to come into agreement with it now. So eternity is my destiny and becomes my experience. Destiny is not fate. You have a choice. You have a choice whether you line up with what God has agreed with you in your spirit, or you keep allowing your soul and your past to determine your future. Because if you allow what's happened to you negatively in the past to continue affect your present, your future will be the same as your past. And it won't be good. That's why it needs to be changed. That's why the things that have happened to us, our thinking, our emotions, they need to be changed and transformed to bring us into everything that God has destined for us, not all the things that the world has messed us up with. Because we're born into a cosmic battle in which the enemy is always trying to destroy destiny. We have to fight for that destiny and not allow anything, whether it's school reports or anything else, that's written about me by this world to affect what God says will be my future. Romans 8:29, for those who foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole predestined thing, all that stuff, but I'm actually going to show you the point is, we are conformed. That's the purpose, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's always been the eternal purpose. Because God does not want one son. He wants many sons. Many brothers. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. Now this isn't just the word of, like, oh well, what I did yesterday. This is the written agreement of my testimony in heaven. Where that scroll is now, we need to get hold of. Now, literally, this testimony is written on a scroll or a book. It's a legal document. When I looked up scroll and testimony and stuff like that, these are some of the things I found. It's a letter of decree or commission. It's a record of the testimony, which hasn't yet took place. But it's a record of the testimony of the desire that God has for my life. God has a desire for you. And he wants you to come into it. That scroll has a purpose, a destiny, and provision. Everything that you need to do what God's called you to do can be found in the provision that's there. Genesis 1:28 sums up that testimony to the first person, Adam, God and Eve. God blessed them. So first of all, there was the provision. The blessing of God, the empowerment of God to succeed, was given them by God. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. The purpose. And the destiny was to rule. To bring God's kingdom authority and express it here on earth. So Adam was given that scroll. And obviously he messed it up. Now, there is an egg, human egg, and there are lots of sperm, all swimming. There are about 3 million of them. And only one of them succeeds. So you already have shown that you have a destiny, because you've overcome 3 million others to succeed in becoming you. You are already an overcomer. You are stronger than 3 million others to become you, because you had a destiny. That fertilized egg, at the point of conception, something happens. Scientists call it an explosion of light. They don't know what it is. I can tell you what it is. It's the spirit coming into that fertilized egg. Light bursts in, and that scroll of destiny is within that fertilized egg. It also has the record of 23 plus 23 chromosomes, which is the DNA and record of your parents' history. What they look like and what they've experienced is all stored in that record. But also you get a record of your eternal destiny imparted when your spirit comes into your physical body. So now the substance which was before now becomes the substance which is in the substance of your life. Literally takes place. Then those cells multiply. And when there's about 10, 12, 15 cells, the first cell, which contains the record, implodes and becomes the human heart, which carries that record. The heart carries the record of past generations. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And this is a really important thing. We'll be looking about this quite a lot, because the heart is a thinking organ. Now, we think of it just pumping blood around our body. A scientific community who are interested in the heart did some research. They found that thoughts coming from the mind, the brain, they could detect about 12 inches away from the head the same thoughts, electrical impulses from the heart, they could detect 6 to 7 feet away, because the heart thinks. That's what the Bible says. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And therefore, who we think about in our heart is really important. Because there's a record of our DNA, of our past generations, and there's a record of our spiritual DNA from eternity. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to come into agreement with? Who are we going to resonate and vibrate with? Because that will determine who we will become, and whether we will become who God's created us to be. So that scroll has your eternal destiny. Psalm 47 says this, "Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book it has written of me." This is talking about Jesus. "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart." So everything that Jesus was destined to do and become was written in his heart. And he delighted to do the things that were written in his heart. Delighted to do it. So it's really, really important to get hold of your destiny. Now I've got another 20 slides, and I think I'll do them next week rather than doing them now. But it's really, really important. You see, we were singing today about singing a song. See, when our scroll comes into being, it carries a frequency. Every one of your bodies has a frequency that it vibrates at. All different from everyone else's body. Every one of your bodies carries a song. In fact, it carries two songs. It carries a song that reflects your DNA, which was written, and scientifically, you can get that song produced by giving a scientific thing in America. You can give them a bit of your DNA and they will sing the song. They will produce a song. They've got computer software which turns that vibrating frequency and song into actually a melody. Unfortunately, the problem is that song was created in chaos. We were formed in sin and shaped in iniquity. So it does not reflect fully the song of the DNA of God, which is also there for us too. So there's a colour and a fragrance and a formula that we have. We have within our DNA encoded abilities. We also have in our spiritual DNA encoded abilities. I'm not going to get on that rabbit trail now. I would love to, but not going. Maybe next week. So our DNA vibrates with the record of the chaos it was created in. But our scroll also vibrates with our destiny. Who are we going to line up with? Because that will determine who you are and what you're going to do and what you're going to be tomorrow and where you're going to end up eternally will be determined by if you come into harmony, faith, agreement, call it what you want, with who you are and who God says about you. It will transform how you live, how you think, what you believe, and how you act and live to fulfill the purpose of God and change the world around you. Because every one of you is called to rule, to operate in authority, and to change the world around you, to bring it in line with God's eternal purpose. That's our destiny as the church. Individually, we're here, the church is here. It's like this morning in the worship time, my spirit was really stirred. When it stirs, it starts to go. And it was like, because I saw a whole lot of people who should be here this morning who aren't here. Not those who are on holiday, but those who are being robbed by their familiar spirits, robbing them of their destiny and keeping them out of the purposes of God for their life. Every congregation in this town has people who should be in it today and who isn't because they're being robbed by the enemy. Their destiny is being stolen. They've listened to the rubbish that the enemy says. You're not good enough. No one likes you. You can go today and no one will notice you. all that rubbish, people who are living in unforgiveness because they won't deal with their past, all the hurt that church brings about because we're human, fallible, and we hurt each other at times. If we did what God said and deal with it and talk to each other and forgive each other, no issue. If we keep it, we bring divisiveness and division, and the enemy robs us of our destiny. So, God is calling us to come back into agreement with Him, and He's calling those people out there back into their destinies as well. And we need to rise up and call them back too. Because there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people in this area who gave their lives to God and have been robbed of their destiny and are living outside of the purposes of God today. Some of you have been in that place yourselves, where it's like, ooh, I'm taking time out. It's absolute rubbish. You do not take time out from God or church and relationship with the people that you're in relationship with. You deal with the issues and you get over yourself and you move forward in the purpose of God. Seriously, there are a whole lot of people there outside who need to get over themselves and get back into the purposes of God. And we need to call them back in. We need to call forth their destiny. Because there's a whole load of them out there. I'm starting to get stirred. So I'm going to stop there. But I want to pray. And I want you to join in that prayer of agreement with me. Because I want to call forth destiny. Father, right now, in the mandate and authority and that place in the heavenly realms, I step into right now. I take that scepter of authority and I declare and call forth destiny in this room. I call forth destiny, the substance of eternity in the hearts and lives of the people here. And for those people out in the community around us who should be here, I call forth their destiny, and I stand against every religious spirit and every familiar spirit that's stopping their destiny today. And I take authority over those things in Jesus' name. I call forth eternal destiny in this room. Hearts open to hear, to vibrate, and to come into harmony and resonating with the truth of people's personal call and destiny on their lives. In Jesus' name. Now I want to encourage you to pursue your destiny. Do not be robbed. Do not listen to the rubbish of the past. Listen to eternity past and change your future. Because God has a future for you to fulfill in the purposes of God. Amen?